of the few times in life that I get to say, I usually don't talk about giving money or pushing you to give money, but I do right now because I can. And it's not that even, and like what Skip is saying, well, and happy birthday, Skip. Skip just had his birthday this last week. And so, same with some of the other programs that we do where the simplicity of sometimes just finances, just a dollar here or there, or more, or maybe something that's sacrificial. And God can use it. God can use it. He can use it in someone's life. Make a difference in how they feel, emotionally feel. You know yourselves how you feel in the morning? Something went good and it made you, it was something so simple and it made you feel so good and it made the rest of the day. It lightened your countenance, your ideas, your thoughts, which is what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, that neighbor and his dog is just driving me crazy. But yet God says, you want to prove that you really love me? In fact, this is the only way you can. It's by loving others.
Amen.
Wow. I gave you a little outline there. Some of you have it. Let me read two scriptures here because it's about God's word. Today is about God's word. Actually, every day is about God's word, but we're just kind of focusing a little bit. 2 Timothy 2:14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will be more and more ungodly. Oh my goodness. Their teaching will spread like gangrene, a poison, an infection. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They just started going on their own way. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroyed the faith of some. Going away from God's word. See, there is, isn't that the beauty of when the scripture is given out, you have the pure source of God's word, God's writing to men himself, women himself. Not somebody else reiterating it and turning it around and making it what they think it should be. God is telling you directly what he wants. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with his inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord Jesus Christ must turn away from wickedness. The first thing, to know the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scriptures God breathed and useful for what? Teaching, rebuking, correcting. Correction, training, righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When you're following the Lord, you can't just say, I'm a good guy, or be a good guy, or a good girl. You've got to know God's word. We might not know it backwards and forwards. We not know it from the end to the beginning. But we know it enough to live our lives for God. And that means being in it. Being in God's word. See, even when the Gideons gave out scripture, they're not wanting people just to carry them around in their pockets. That's cool. I mean, everybody thinks that's great, but it's not what the whole idea is. It's so that people will read God's letter to them, his truth to them, his word to them. So there's something we used to do as kids at Vacation Bible School and Sunday School. Donna's class, her school class, every morning they say the Pledge of Allegiance, then the Pledge of Allegiance to the Christian flag, but then they also do a pledge of allegiance to God's word. And it goes, and you have it in your that little outline I gave it. There is in there, I said, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I may not sin against God. Where's that God's word have to be so that you start not sinning against God? It has to be here. It has to be in you. You have to have what? A relationship. A godly relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's only really one way to know that about Jesus is through God's word, either being told it or reading it. We say the pledge to the Bible, but what does it really mean? So let's take a deeper look and discover maybe some truths. I pledge allegiance to the Bible. Allegiance, I will give it the utmost in honor and respect that I have. Wow. I will do what it says. Too often we say, oh, I'll do that, I'll do that. How many times as children or grandchildren we hear them, I'll do that, but they don't. Do you do what God's word says? It will govern what I say and I do, how I live. My relationship with the world. God will govern this. Not my spouse, not my employees, not fans, friends, even my enemies. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ, who is the word that became what? Flesh. Jesus is the word. When we're reading God's word, we are reading the essence of what Jesus, God is. My allegiance is to Jesus Christ, who is the word that became flesh, God's holy word. God's word is holy. It's precious. Beyond precious. It is set apart. It is different from any other word, any other book. It teaches us to be a people that is set apart from the world. Scripture says that we're supposed to be a peculiar people. Now, we always look at that peculiar making because we're weird. No, we're different. We're peculiar to the world. We're different than anything else. God's people, Israel, was supposed to be a people set apart, different, as God's word is. It has a specific purpose, God's word. It's to reveal God to men. That men might be saved. But what about all those stories in it? The stories that tell you the power of God. Even when God talks to Job about, hey, remember that creature that I made, the Leviathan? What's the other one? The behemoth. The Leviathan was the nasty one, though. It had scales. It had all kinds of teeth. It was a monstrous monster that he says, you can't even get around that thing. Yet it whimpers. No better word to use. It whimpers before me. That is how great our God is. And so his word is telling you what he is like, who he is like, what kind of relationship we will have with him. Nothing else is as powerful or awesome as God's word. So nothing else deserves my allegiance. And I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I was going to bring a flashlight up here, but it just doesn't show in essence. How do we make God's word a lamp into our feet, a light into our path? We use a lamp and a light to see where we're going. Anytime you ever been in the woods where there's no sun, there's no moon out, there's no stars, it is dark. I mean, it is. Who's been in the Oregon caves or any other caves where it's dark? You cannot see your hand in. That is what the world is like when we're not following God's word. We cannot see the path. Can you imagine using a lawnmower out on a dark night trying to mow your lawn? And getting up the next morning and take a look at what it looks like? Yeah, not too good. Can you imagine letting your kids do that? Well, it's tough enough just letting the kids do it during the daytime. We determine our direction and paths in life in accordance with God's will, in God's will, with God's will and in his will, within it. Now, maybe many Christians find themselves in messes because they do not allow God's word to guide them in their paths and in their directions. Even those who love the Lord and want to follow him sometimes decide, well, I can do this. Do we really think I can do this on my own? Well, they say, well, I don't want to bother God. How dare us? I can do this on my own and I don't want to bother God. Two things that we should never be thinking, ever. God says, I want to be in your lives, in everything. And I want you to want me there. You don't have to do it alone. Don't be foolish to think you have to do it alone. We must allow God to work through his word and, of course, in the Holy Spirit to guide us in our everyday living. It's an everyday walk. And I will hide his word, the Bible, in my heart, that I might not, what? Sin against God. Sin against God, doing what he, basically, you can almost say, doing, not doing what he wants us to do would be sinning against God. It's not just doing the things that we're told not to do, but doing the things that we're told to do and we don't do them. What is the cure for getting rid of sin and dealing with temptation? Let me do something easy. There's another simple, a regular diet of God's word. Well, tell me what passages, just pray, start reading God's word. Don't use it like some type of a fortune-telling book or whatever. Read it as though God is instructing your life and your daily walk. Amen. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. Man, oh man, I'm going to skirt around that scripture all the time, huh? Don't skirt around scriptures we know that will tell us to do things that are hard. Do them. Regular diet of God's word. God's word cannot just stay in our heads. Remember last week I talked about every week. Every day, every morning, get into God's word. Get on our knees. Can't just stay in our head. You must take it into our heart. We must be part of our lives, not just a bunch of facts and words to memorize, but living, breathing of God that needs to access the innermost parts of our lives. How does something become the innermost part of our lives? When we apply it. When we do it. When do the instructions on a toy work properly putting it together? When we read them. It's really terribly hard. It takes twice as long to try to put it together and realize, I better go back and read the instructions. If we had just read them first. Jesus uses God's word in each of the three temptations that he was given after 40 days of fasting. What does he use for his defense? God's word. Now, the beauty of it, Satan tries to say God's word also, but guess what? Satan doesn't believe God's word. He can quote it, but he doesn't have a relationship. See, you have to have a relationship with God. What does God's word need to do in your life? Church, people, friends, loved ones, does God's word need to convict you of some sin that's going on in your life right now? Are you staying away from it because of that? That you might be convicted? Build you up and encourage you? Guide you maybe in a very big decision that you're trying to do right now? If Jesus is not your Lord, this is an interesting thing. If Jesus is not your Lord, God's word can lead you to salvation. If you're really not allowing Jesus to be your Lord, God's word can lead you to that relationship that you desperately need. It tells you exactly what you need to do to be saved. First of all, we must hear the word. But when we do hear that and we do believe it, that we believe Jesus is Lord, we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, as Not just, see, the demons can say, they confess he's Lord because they've seen him. They know him at work, but they don't confess him as their Lord, their Savior, their Messiah. We confess Jesus. We repent of our sin. You know what repenting means? Turn away from it. Not just say, oh, I'm so sorry I did it, but turn away. Start going in a different direction, basically, is the best way to put it. Repent. Be immersed. Scripture tells of every New Testament believer who accepts Jesus and believes in him, were even that night baptized. And then live our lives for him. You don't stop just there. It's not just a dead end. It's a complete life-changing movement, relationship. Are you going to have your ups and downs? My goodness, yeah. Anybody have a great marriage that they never had an argument, never had a fight, never? No. That's ridiculous. Relationships are up and down. But the beauty of the relationship with Jesus Christ is no matter where we're up and where we're down, Jesus is there, holiness. Amen? So hiding God's word in our heart, living for him. The act of hiding God's word in one's heart is not just memorizing it, but by living it in full devotion to the Lord. Knowing his word. Amen? We're going to talk about that next week. Knowing God's word. Paul is going to be, are you going to be back there? I think Skip's going to be back there. They've got a table that, please go check it out. Again, if your heart's being tugged in that way and you can't make a decision today, or you're not fully ready to make any decision, or just say all of a sudden a month later it hits you and say, hey, remember that time? There's never too late. It's never too late. Amen. The same as giving your life to the Lord. Yeah, oh, man, I should be doing it. Why am I putting it off? Sometimes that's the question you need to talk with somebody. Why am I putting it off? Why am I putting off giving my life to the Lord? What am I think I'm giving up that I have to have right now that's so important? Wow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless this time. Bless this morning. Thank you for your love. Thank you for compassion, Father. Lord, thank you for your word. What an awesome, awesome thing that you have given this world. Your heart and your thought and your guidelines and stories of people who have been in their ups and downs in their lives for you and with you. So that we know that we're not alone, Lord. We're in a great crowd of people that have gone through the same thing and are going through the same thing that we are and have and will. So I thank you, Father, for blessing us with your word, that covenant that you've given us, the Christ that you have sent us, save us, protect us, the Spirit, Father, to comfort us. And all these things, Father, I thank you for those. And I ask you to bless the Gideon. I ask you to bless those in their hearts who want to share God's word with others. I ask you, Father, to bless today those who have the chance, who will have the chance to tell someone about Jesus Christ today, right this moment. And all these things we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.